Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And again, we're taking your calls live on the broadcast today. You can give us a call at 888-ASK-HANK to get your question in today. That translates to 888-275-4265. Also want to mention just a couple of the testimonies that have come in to the Christian Research Institute today. A letter from Carol. She talks about being an active member of the Mormon Church for 30 years, and now she's left Mormonism. And she talks about the significance of our ministry in that process. So once again, God using the ministry not only to equip committed Christians, but also to rescue people from the kingdom of the cults. Brett writes, Hank's passion for a fair-minded and well-researched Christianity ignited a hunger unknown in my heart. I've been a Christian for almost 20 years, but it was after Hank's continual, steady exhortation to know what you believe and in whom you believe and his willingness to put out carefully selected Christian materials in the hands of his listeners that I truly became a follower of Jesus Christ. I now, by God's grace, co-lead a group of men who are hungry, passionate, and because of Hank's ministry, I'm equipped. Thank you, Hank. God bless. And there's many more that I could read to you today, but I so often hear people say, you know, it's one thing to hear about the thousands of people that are being impacted throughout the world. It's significant when I hear that 177 countries have people in them who contact us via the web at equip.org. But you know what really touches my heart? When I hear a testimony of a life transformed. And what so many people say to me resonates in my heart because that's what touches me as well. That's why we do what we do. Transformed lives. We can't relate to millions, but we can relate to one. And so every now and then I want to share with you that one or two that have been touched. And again, the testimonies continue to flow in. This is a ministry that, by God's grace, is bearing abundant, abiding fruit. I mentioned this yesterday. It bears repeating. We're going to be saying goodbye to a number of radio stations that we have had just an incredible relationship with for over two decades. And hopefully the goodbye is just a little sabbatical. As a result of economic realities, the recession we're facing in America today, we can't continue to mount up debt. And so we're going to say goodbye for a time until we get caught up. And hopefully we'll see you on the radio station again in the near future. We love the owners of these radio stations and the managers and the technicians, everyone involved in this partnership in reaching people with the gospel. But now is the time to say goodbye. And again, this is not going to affect hundreds of thousands of you listening to my voice right now, but it will affect some. And if you're one of those people affected, please recognize that we continue on the air all over the world. And if you want to see or hear the broadcast, go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. Now, I said not only hear, but you can see. We now have cameras in our studio, and you'll see video blogs of me answering questions. You'll get the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast live via video on the World Wide Web at equip.org. All of that and many more features is you can access literally hundreds and hundreds of resources that we have put together over a period of over 50 years now. So stand with us. prayerfully and financially during these difficult days. We need your support now more than ever. Again, when we talk about support, we're talking about touching lives. If you can join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, that's the best of all worlds. That means that on a regular monthly basis, you stand with the ministry prayerfully as well as financially. We invite you to do that right now. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Just as you can see the video blogs and hear the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, as well as see the archived broadcasts, you can also give online at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion. You can also do so via the mail, and we depend on the mail, at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And if you can make a special donation today, you can do it with immediacy by going to the telephone and talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Even if you can't get through right away, leave a message. Let us know that you want to support the ministry. We'll get right back to you. This, again, is a time that's difficult for so many people. We pray continuously at the Christian Research Institute and individually in our prayer lives for the people affected by the recession. But God's people are still giving and supporting ministry as they should, and we ask you to join with us. Many people working together can help the ministries that are making a difference stand for truth at a time where truth is so often being compromised, confused, or even contradicted. So again, stand with this ministry. If you can make a gift today, it'd be deeply appreciated. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone callers. Talk first to Howard. He's listening on XM Radio in Everett, Washington. Hi, Howard.
Oh, hi, Hank. I've got a question for you. First of all, I want to thank you very much for the Apocalypse Code. I've read it four times and going to keep reading it again. Learned a lot. Now, I realize that the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament were only shadows and types of what Christ did on the cross. So, reading through Ezekiel, the last chapter's at chapter 40, he's talking about a new temple with animal sacrifices again. Could you explain what he's referring to there?
Yeah, well, he's obviously not referring to a future temple, and we know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. Ezekiel is, in one sense, talking about a near future temple, but he's not talking about a temple as a third temple in the tribulation or the ultimate millennial temple in a millennium. He couldn't be. And the reason we can say that with absolute certainty is that there is no possible way that in Christian theology you go back to temple sacrifices, even as a memorial, because we've been left with another memorial. What is that memorial? It's the Lord. Yeah, it's Jesus Christ. And I say this in the Apocalypse Code. The Shekinah glory of God that departed the second temple, leaving it desolate, forever now dwells within the spiritual temple. And the Shekinah glory of God will never again descend upon a temple that is constructed of lifeless stones, for it forever dwells within the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God, as Peter puts it in 1 Peter 2. And he goes on to say, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So the very language that was once devoted to temple, priest, and sacrifice is now being apportioned to the people of God. And so Peter says that you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Again, the church is built out of living stones, comprised of Jew and Gentile, and Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. So if we have the living temple in our midst, and if we are the body of Christ, perish the thought that we would ever go back to another temple. That would be, as Hebrews says, trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ.
What you say makes perfect sense, and that's what I was thinking. And just to let you know that I'm learning from your book, Apocalypse Code, when I read this and I was reading through the Expositor's Bible commentary, the red flags went up and the bells and buzzers went off, so you got the point across to me.
Well, I'm glad I did, because this is a very significant point. We don't want to trample on the blood of Jesus Christ, as Hebrews warns us not to do, and we have to remember that the memorial that has been left for us is the Lord's Supper, and we are to do this until he returns again.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Appreciate your call, Howard. And by the way, in the Legacy Study Bible, I have an acronym. It's the acronym Legacy, of course, and you can go to Ezekiel and see Legacy. I talk about the location in which the book of Ezekiel was written, the essence of the book of Ezekiel, the genre, the author, the context, and the years. Of course, that spells Legacy. But this is what I write under essence. Ezekiel describes in rich, symbolic detail the new temple and the new Jerusalem that would exceed even the glory of Solomon's temple. Though this new temple is often misunderstood as a 21st century temple with reinstituted animal sacrifices, context precludes that possibility, because the animal sacrifices envisioned by Ezekiel are sin offerings. Indeed, the Lord's Supper was instituted by Jesus in place of animal sacrifices as a reminder that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. Though Ezekiel's prophecy was fulfilled in the near future, when the temple was rebuilt under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah, the grandeur of his apocalyptic language reveals that the diminished glory of the second temple is merely a type of the eternal temple, a temple not built by human hands. More could be said about this subject, but as noted by Howard, I've written about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also, the Legacy Study Bible. Let me make a just quick point about the Legacy Study Bible. We right now are offering the Legacy Study Bible for your gift of $250. It's leather-bound, and I will personalize it to you for a gift of $250 or more to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, all the proceeds go to the ministry so that we can continue broadcasting this ministry, so we can continue doing the research, so that we can continue touching the lives of people, equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up in strength. And I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Anthony. He's listening in Pittsburgh, Texas on KHCJ. Hi, Anthony.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, good. Glad to get through.
Well, it's good to talk to you.
Yes, sir. I have a question also about the Lord's Supper. Recently I went to a church where they believe that the Lord's Supper is only for the members of that church, and if you're visiting there, they ask you to leave. And I was always under the impression that it should be to every believer or that wants to partake of it and examine themselves. And I was wondering to get your thoughts on that and what you believe the Bible says.
Yeah, well, I think that it is certainly true that there are churches that practice closed communion for their members because they know that they're members in good standing. They know that these members are involved in prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word. They know that these are members who have examined themselves before partaking of communion, and they take communion very seriously because it is a remembrance, at the very least, a remembrance or a memorial of what Jesus Christ has done for us, his broken body and shed blood, for the complete remission of sins. There are other churches that practice an open communion, and therefore, if you come to the communion as someone who has examined themselves, the warnings are given through the passage in Corinthians 11. The warnings are given that you don't want to eat judgment or drink judgment into yourself, and then the warnings are given and people are available or open to take that communion which is available to them. So there are churches with different policies on them, but the reason for the policies, I think, is what's operative, which is to say they don't want people trampling on the sacred blood of Jesus Christ by taking the Lord's Supper in a cavalier or an unworthy manner. I leave this up to the discretion of the church. I do think, however, that we should take this sacred rite in a very serious manner. More could be said, but I'm up against a break. We'll be right back.
Bible Answer Man fans, there are now more ways than ever to interact with the broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff. Besides listening online, podcasting, or reading Hank's blog, you can also access more of Hank through Facebook, Twitter, and our brand new website at www.equip.org, where you can connect with all these new media. That's www.equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Mom, I'm home.
Hi, honey. How was school today?
It was okay, I guess.
Just okay?
Well, in science class, the teacher said that people came from apes and monkeys, and that we all came from little cells in the water. Mom, I'm so confused. You told me the Bible said that God created everything. Who's right, my teacher or the Bible?
Each school year, this scene is played out in more homes across the country. The result? More children reject the existence of God and His intended design of the universe. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote Fatal Flaws. It addresses such issues as how and when the world began, whether humans were intended or merely an accident, the spiritual dimension of the human soul, and more. Pick up Fatal Flaws by Hank Hanegraaff. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Order it on our website at equip.org.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today, about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
If you appreciate the information you get from the daily broadcast of The Bible Answer Man, our website, equip.org, or our flagship publication, Christian Research Journal, please let us know. We're always encouraged by what God is doing through this ministry.
Hey, Hank, I just wanted to let you know that you started something in me, and I was in that faith movement, and I never knew there was somebody like you who had left the church, and now by listening to you, you're starting something in me. I never knew there could be somebody like you to stand up to these people and just preach the real word of God, and appreciate your ministry, Hank. Stand for the truth, because you're really working people's heart. Thank you.
If you can make a special gift, you enter into partnership with us as we equip people from around the United States and the world to defend and declare the good news of Jesus Christ. Our outreach on this radio station is made possible through the financial donations and prayerful support of listeners like you. So as you feel led, we would love to have you help us and join the work God is doing through the ministry of CRI. To get in touch with the Christian Research Institute, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI. We're also online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man and our host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And if you've never seen us at equip.org, please go to the World Wide Web at equip.org, and you can see the broadcast live right there on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Russell on XM Radio in Mayfield, Kentucky. Hi, Russell.
Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question is concerning, it's a very personal nature, because a little over 20 years ago, my mother committed suicide, and I searched Scripture to deal with the issue of what is the, well, will I see my mother in heaven or will I not? I can't find an answer to that question.
Well, let's deal with it first in principle. What is suicide? Suicide is ultimately murder, isn't it? It is the taking of one's life, which is a prerogative that is God's alone. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible that suicide would therefore be commended. You're not going to find somewhere in the Bible where there's a commendation for murder. It's always wrong to commit suicide. But there's a further question, and that question, Russell, is if someone has committed suicide, does that mean that they have committed the unpardonable sin or the unforgivable sin? And I would say the answer is no. The reason I would say that is that there are people that reach a state of despair or depression, and because they're in that state, they do things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. And that's possible for a Christian just as it is possible for a non-believer. So we cannot therefore categorically state that someone who has committed the act of suicide is therefore separated from God for all eternity. The operative question is always this: did your mother have a relationship with the living Lord of the universe? Did she love Jesus Christ? Did she want a relationship with him in this life? If so, then she will have a relationship with him in the life to come. Because a relationship with Jesus Christ comes on the basis of realizing that you're a sinner, repenting of your sin, and then receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. If your mom did that, even if she committed suicide as an act within the context of depression, we can't say that she now has lost her salvation, because the very one who saved her is the one who sanctifies her and in eternity will glorify her.
Okay. There's such a wide variety of views on it. I just really wanted to hear what your thoughts were on that, because it ever since it occurred, it's really been a matter of grief for me and concern.
Well, the question, Russell, is, was your mother a believer?
Before everything went bad. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I, I believe that she was, and I will just trust that that the Lord is trustworthy to save her, even despite the troubles that she ended up taking her own life for.
Yeah, and Russell, we can say that in the human condition, we all go through periods in which we lose perspective. And the fact that we're Christians doesn't absolve us from that reality. We live in a real world and we lose perspective. There are days in which I lose perspective, but the Lord still carries me through those days. There are days in which you do things which, as a Christian, you have to ask forgiveness for. We all do that because we sin in thought, word, and deed every single day. It's inconceivable that you would take your own life as a Christian if you're in your right mind, because then you're taking a prerogative that is God's alone. God has the province and the power over life and death, and we cannot take that province and that principle and say, well, that's now something that we can do. And when we do that, we're doing something that's horrible. But can God forgive that? Absolutely. If you're a genuine believer, God can forgive that, and God does forgive that. In fact, we have biblical precedent for saying that. If you look at David, David would be a classic case in point. He's called in Scripture a man after God's own heart, and yet David committed murder. Now, he didn't commit suicide, but suicide is the murder of oneself. David committed murdered someone else, but it's still murder. And yet, though David committed murder, we know for certain that David was forgiven by God and that God continued to use him. Now, there's a consequence to sin, and that consequence follows just like night follows day. And in some sense, we can say that the consequence of what your mother did is still impacting you, just as one example. So there's also consequence to sin, but we cannot say that because your mother did what she did, that she has committed the unpardonable sin. She desired a relationship with Jesus Christ, if she realized she was a sinner, repented of her sin, and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then she is with Jesus Christ in eternity. She is now awaiting what's going to happen, which is life after death, which is the time in which Jesus returns, and then she'll be resurrected from the dead.
Well, I sure do appreciate your ministry, sir, and I thank you for talking to me about that matter.
Well, Russell, difficult circumstance. I can't imagine it myself, but my prayers and thoughts are with you.
Thank you.
You got it, my friend. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to John. He's listening on KQCV in Blanchard, Oklahoma. Hi, John.
Hello. My question, can you hear me? My question is what you're talking about. How can someone who kills himself be able to go to heaven? Because isn't it true that no sin can enter heaven? Doesn't the Bible say that unless you repent, there's no way you can get into heaven?
Well, that's absolutely true. John, but
well, how can you repent if you kill yourself? That's just impossible to do.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's think about this for a moment. You're going to go, if you're a believer, and I assume you are, you're going to go to heaven, and you're going to die in your sin. Correct?
I'm not going to die in my sins because I repent of my sins.
Right, but you are going to die as a sinner, because the fact that you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ does not make you practically righteous. We are, as Luther described us, snow-covered dung, which is to say we are covered by a foreign righteousness, a righteousness not of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So we're covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but we are yet sinful. And we will continue in that state until the day we die. The one who justifies us does sanctify us, but we never become perfect in this life. When we die and we're glorified, then we will be in practicality what we are now, only in position. So I say, therefore, John, that you and I both, though we love Jesus Christ and have embraced his righteousness, will die in sin. And there will be sins that are not technically in the sense that we thought of those sins repented for. I mean, I ask God every day for forgiveness. I oftentimes pray the prayer of David in Psalm 51. And I ask God to cleanse me with hyssop so that I might be clean, wash me so that I might be whiter than snow. But the reality is, every single day I am sinning in one way or another. Sometimes it's a sin of commission. In other words, I'm committing an act that's in violation of God's principle. Sometimes it's a sin of omission. I'm failing to do what I could for someone else. And there's no one that is exempt from sins of omission, because we're not doing everything we possibly could do to be perfect in our standing before God. So our hope is not in our righteousness. Our hope is in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, getting back to the question at hand, we've just dealt with this in principle. It is possible that someone has received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and loses perspective at a particular stage in their life and does the unthinkable. The fact that that person has done that does not mean that they are automatically excluded from heaven. Now, I'm qualifying that, John, by saying it is unthinkable that a believer would take a prerogative that is God's alone, which is the prerogative of taking their own life. That's not our right. So it's an unthinkable thing to murder oneself, just as it is an unthinkable thing to murder someone else. But I cannot say categorically on the basis of Scripture that someone who has committed suicide has committed the unpardonable sin. I can't say that because the Bible doesn't say that.
Well, I had a youth group one time, and I caught a teenage girl telling other girls that she's figured it out. I can go out Friday night and do everything I want to do, and then Saturday morning all I got to do is pray that God forgive me. And that sounds like what you're saying.
No, it's not what I'm saying. And John, you can't say that's what I'm saying, because we're dealing with a sensitive matter here with a son and their mother. Please understand that. But that's not what I'm saying, and I very clearly said exactly the opposite. So if you're listening carefully, I said that when someone sins, there's always a consequence, and the consequence follows inexorably like night follows day. And in biblical theology, we believe that the foundation is Jesus Christ, and you can build on that foundation using gold and silver and costly stones, or wood, hay, and straw. And therefore, on the basis of Scripture, we know there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. So consequences extend not only in this life, but in the life to come. Now, we again are saved only on the basis of Jesus Christ, but we can build on that foundation, or we can build an unworthy structure on that foundation using, in Paul's analogy, wood, hay, or straw. Much more could be said. I've written about that in the book titled Resurrection, if you want to get further information on that. But trust me, I'm not saying we can sin with impunity and get away with it. There are always consequences. Be right back.
In this message, Hank Hanegraaff reminds us that just as the great reformers and prophets of old were willing to give their utmost for God's highest, not only in the public square, but each and every moment of the day, we too, as followers of Christ, need to realize the paramount importance of redeeming each moment of our lives for the cause of our precious Redeemer. Be inspired by the heroes of the faith Hank Hanegraaff brings to life when you order Truth Under Siege in audio CD. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't go away. Hank will be right back after this.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity, emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order the compelling The Case for Faith DVD from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the idea of romantic love and ponders its role as the basis for marriage. When Mormon prophet Joseph Smith announced his discovery of the Book of Abraham in 1835, it was heralded as the most important find in biblical studies, older than the Old Testament, and provided the scriptural foundation for the Mormon doctrine of God. Find out why these claims are false. Our Effective Evangelism article provides 10 power-packed arguments for atheists to know that the universe is haunted. Practical Hermeneutics unpacks the question, how was Jesus made sin? And as always, don't miss the popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
The Bible Answer Man is here to provide the answers that people are looking for because truth matters. Many listeners and Christian leaders have told us of the importance of these answers.
Hello, this is Jack Graham of Prestonwood Church, and I want to take just a moment to say a word about my very, very good friend, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man program. In a day in which truth is so often on the scaffold, it is so vitally important that Christians think clearly and biblically, and this is why Hank Hanegraaff gives us the straight stuff when it comes to the Word of God, the testimony of Christ, and the support of this ministry and the program, The Bible Answer Man, is so very important because it keeps this program not only on the air, but it keeps truth before our hearts and in our minds. So to all the listeners of The Bible Answer Man, you receive so much from this program, and your life is no doubt changed by the power of truth. So I want to encourage you to support this ministry in every way possible. Certainly with your prayers, certainly by listening every time you can, and then your financial support.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to do the unique job that the Christian Research Institute does every day. So we're asking for your financial and prayerful participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, CRI Fellowship, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274 or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Before I go back to our phone calls, I want to just state something. Maybe this will come out in a clumsy fashion because I haven't really thought through it, but it just occurred to me to say this. There are people that have supported this ministry over the years that we send a thank you letter to, or we write a letter to on a monthly basis, and some of you haven't received a letter in a while. And the reason you haven't received a letter from us in a while is maybe a technical problem or a computer problem. If you haven't received a letter from us asking you to support this ministry and letting you know the vision of this ministry and what we're doing and where we're at, please be proactive and write me and say, you haven't written me, but I want to write you and, you know, enclose a gift to this ministry and let me know that you want to receive a letter from us on a regular basis, because our letters which ask you to support the ministry are not just letters asking for money. They're letters that minister as well. I just wrote a letter a few days ago, and that letter will be going out to people in the near future, in which I talk about what's going on in America today. And I even use the example in 1917 of the Russian Revolution under Vladimir Lenin. And one of the very interesting things that happened in the Russian Revolution is a socialized healthcare system, which ended up bankrupting the Russian economy. Now, I use that in a particular way. You'd have to get the letter to know that. But if you're not getting letters from us right now, let us know you want to receive the letter, that you want to support the ministry, and we'll send it out to you. So sometimes you have to be proactive because we live in a day and age of great technology, but ministries like ours that deal with literally hundreds of thousands of people don't always communicate in the optimal fashion. So sometimes I have to ask you to communicate with us. So if you haven't given, haven't supported the ministry, you're not getting the letter, let us know that you want to continue getting our monthly letters, our newsletters, the journal, whatever it might be. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can contact me on the World Wide Web at equip.org, equip.org, or you can always talk to our resource consultants. That's a quick, easy way to do it, 888-7000 CRI. If you don't get a live person right away, leave your information. We'll get back to you. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Gail, KSIV, Hazelwood, Missouri. Hi, Gail.
Hello, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. I have a question about fasting, and the question is, what is God's true intent for Christians when they fast? In the Bible, there are different contexts in which fasting takes place. Like in Mark 28 and 29, Jesus refers to a specific reasons for the disciples to fast. And then there's a lot of other reference, like in Esther 4 and 3, where Esther needed God to move on behalf of the Jews. So the whole, you know, everyone fasted for that sake.
Yes.
So what's God's true intent?
Well, I love what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, and when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so it's not obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is in heaven. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So the point is, you never fast for appearance sake. You never fast to get the attention of people. You fast because you want the attention of God. And what that means is fasting is always a way in which you are reserving your best for the Lord. You're saying, I'm even going to dispense with some of my earthly needs because I want the biggest need I have in my life fulfilled, and that is a relationship with the living Lord of the universe. So I'm putting these things aside so that I can devote myself more fully to hearing your word. And that's what Esther did. I mean, Esther fasted for the nation because the nation was in danger of imminent destruction under Haman. She was fasting and she was praying for the nation. She was beseeching God and she was putting aside all the things that encumber us, food and the things that grab our attention in the world. And she says, I'm putting that aside because I want my focus strictly and only to be on you, O Lord, because you are sovereign and it is your will that I want. And I'm praying for your will to be done in this situation. And of course, as a result of her fasting and praying, in accordance with the will of God, God answered her prayer. And she was used as the catalyst through which Israel was saved from certain destruction.
Okay, so I'm hearing you correctly. Basically, you're saying, first of all, it has to be in accordance with God's will, foremost, and secondly, it's to bring us into a closer relationship with God.
Yeah, you've got it. And by the way, when we say God's will, that's not a dirty word. A lot of people in evangelicalism today will tell you, never pray if it be thy will. That's doubting God. Well, the Bible tells us exactly the opposite. But think about it. Just logically, why would we want anything but the will of God? God knows what's best for us, and He does what is best for His children. We oftentimes pray, God, this is what I want. But if we don't add, if it be thy will, if we got what we wanted every single time we asked for something, we'd be in a lot of trouble. I remember the humorous story of my predecessor, who said that he prayed with fervency unlike he had ever prayed before to be married to a particular woman, a girl in high school. She was the head of the cheerleading squad, and he said he pounded his hands until they were bloody stumps, and he said, God, if you'll only give me her. And he said he went back to a class reunion 20 years later, and after spending some time with her, he quickly realized how grateful he could be that God didn't pay any attention to his prayer.
Okay.
So we always want what God wants because we see a snapshot of our life. God sees the overview of our life. And so we want what he wants because what he wants is best for us every single time.
I have one more question. Is there a degree to fasting, a 3-day fast as opposed to a 21-day fast or fasting without food as opposed to fasting with food, but maybe giving up certain things you like.
Well, sure, absolutely. And this all should be considered with prudence. If you've never fasted before, I would say the same thing that I would say to, I have 12 children. With our children, they had to crawl before they could walk, and they had to walk before they could run. And I think that's the same thing you have to do with fasting. You want to start, set small attainable goals. So maybe have a 3-day fast and have lots of liquids while you're doing it, but do it in a prudent way. It's the same thing with Bible memorization. A lot of people see me quoting the scriptures when I go out and speak, and they'll see me quote a chapter of the Bible and say, I want to do that. And so they set a goal, but it's not an attainable goal. They say, I'm going to do that in a week. Well, maybe they could do that in a week, but the problem is they're setting themselves up for failure because they're far better off setting small attainable goals and getting into discipline. Once you get into that discipline, then you can build on that discipline. But oftentimes when you make the goal too unattainable and too immediate, what happens is you have another unfinished monument in your life and you give up on it.
Okay.
So it's that small, attainable goal.
Yes, thank you so much for your time, and have a blessed day.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Susan. She's listening on KCVT, Lawrence, Kansas. Hi, Susan.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Just a quick comment. I am so glad I got your letters and I get your emails, and I'm so grateful that I do contribute just because of your knowledge, but also the compassion, because not to go in, I don't need a reply. There are times when the trials are overwhelming. I love God with all my heart, but depression really runs in our family, and there are just times when suicide does enter the thought, and I just pray to God that I would never, ever act on it, because I know I know the consequences of it and everything. But my question is...
Just to say, before you ask your question, Susan, let me say what you've just said has probably helped people more than what I said. Because you're talking about this from a realistic perspective of someone who's actually experienced that thought of depression. You pray to God, as you said, you never act on it, but you've had that feeling. And your acknowledgement of that, I am absolutely certain, has touched the life of someone out there that's listening to this broadcast today.
I hope so. You just really put my heart at rest on your answer. You have no idea, because, you know, when the trials are just overwhelming and with the depression on top of that, it's just, it's unbearable at times.
Yes, and our Heavenly Father, He loves us as we are, not because we're perfect. Well, we got to get to your question really quickly, because I only got less than a minute.
Okay, as a father of all your kids and stuff, we have one that's in his 20s, and the Bible says we're to be held accountable. He has caused so much pain, and I love him unconditionally. He's caused so much hurt. I know that he's dying. I think he has his disease is back, but, you know, we've offered the help and offered the help, and it's just so hard to let go. And I don't want God holding me accountable.
Yeah. Well, and you want to continue to pray for your loved ones. You want reconciliation with your loved ones. But for true reconciliation to take place, there has to be someone that is willing to forgive, yourself as well as someone who is wanting forgiveness. I wish I could say more. I don't want to leave you, though. Susan, if you will hang on, we'll see if someone can talk to you off air as well. Certainly note the emotion in your voice. I do want to stay right here in studio for an extra hour once we go off the air and continue taking your calls. A lot of people are dropping like flies right now because they think I'm not going to stay here, but I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. So if you want to get your question in right now, call 888-ASK-HANK and I'll answer it. So long for now.
Hank Hanegraaff headlines focus on the family's The Big Dig nationally simulcast teen apologetics conference on Saturday, August 8th to help your teens handle tough questions about their faith. This powerful one-day simulcast featuring Hank and other top speakers will give your teens everything they need to face their fears, stand up for Jesus, and share their faith with skeptics and seekers with the kind of confidence you'll be proud of. Sign up to be a host church and give students, parents, and youth leaders an exciting opportunity to strengthen their faith. For more details about the Saturday, August 8th National Simulcast, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.